We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Gambling destroyed my life, single-handedly. It made everything miserable. I would lose all my money before I even got back to my apartment, and I would do a 180, turn around, and go back and steal more money and go deposit more money. I had a big win when I was about 11 years old. I won a couple $1,000s on jackpot. I couldn't even go down to the cafeteria and eat food unless I had action on something. The gambling is gonna lead me personally into institutions, jails, or death.
Today's guest is Kurt F. He shares his story of gambling addiction, and it is a bit intense. It's actually one of the most intense stories that I've ever heard. But before we dive into his story, I do have one thing to ask from you. There's so many of you that watch this channel regularly, but you aren't yet subscribers. If you would do me the favor of hitting that subscribe button, then my promise to you is that I'm going to continue to work hard each and every day to spread the message that gambling addiction is real.
So I became, well, I gambled before I turned 11 years old, which is I became a compulsive gambler when I was 11 years old, gambling in online casinos. But I was gambling before that, like on the cruise ship, I was playing bingo and I always wanted more cards and I wanted the maximum win and all this. And I went to arcades all the time and I played card games with family and basically played for nickels and dimes. And I was really invested into that. But when I became a compulsive gambler, I was 11 years old and essentially started gambling heavily, like all hours of the day in class, outside of class, playing a little bit of video games, but that's when I started gambling.
Yeah, and what was that kind of gambling? So you're age 11, what are you able to access at this point?
So I was gambling on video games. I was gambling with skins. I would basically trade skins for casino credit and gamble on blackjack and roulette and games like that at a young age.
So you were going into a video game and you were buying an item in the game and that was connected to an online casino.
That's right.
Wow. And were you using like a VPN at the time to say you were somewhere else? Like, how are you able to do it at age 11?
For sure. Yeah, I was using VPNs to connect to different European countries because it was illegal in the United States. So I had to connect to, like, I don't know, Switzerland or something to basically gamble that money because it wasn't legal in the US.
Both my editor and the guy that consults on the page for like title and creative strategy, both of them ended up hooked to, I believe, was the CSGO as well for you?
That's right.
What was the online community like with that? Was it something that you were doing in isolation or was it something you were doing with friends online?
Yeah, so I was gambling with two of my best friends in middle school and some of high school. I was gambling with them. They would come over to my house and we would all gamble together on these roulette type games. And we would all gamble together. But a lot of the time, we did that, I don't know, a couple times a week. But a lot of the time, it was by myself. I was just sitting on the website gambling in my room, in a dark room, by myself with no friends. I had some friends in high school, but I never hung out with any of them outside of class. I only talked to them in class, so I never really had a friend group in high school. So I was just isolated. I ran home. I took the bus home immediately and started gambling, or gambling on the bus even, so.
Wow. And when you were doing it, did you consider it gambling?
Yeah, I knew it was bad. I knew it was destructive and it was taking up all my time. And I was like, man, I wish I just had some friends to go out with because I'm just stuck in my room gambling. It felt good, but it destroyed my life. So, I mean, yeah.
Wow. Were there times where you were like making a decent amount of money doing it? Like what kind of perpetuated it? What kept you going?
Yeah, so I had a big win when I was about 11 years old. I won a couple $1,000s on jackpot. This is when I became really hooked because the worst thing that could have happened to me at this time was a big win. Mm-hmm. Because then I thought, hey, every time's going to be a big win. This is possible to make a big win. I won, you know, $3,000 or whatever. I was like, wow, this can happen every time. It gave me like hope that gambling could make me like successful and that I could be like a gambler and make money. But in reality, I couldn't.
I mean, coming into $3,000 as an 11-year-old, I think back when I was 11, the only time that I would get money would be like Christmas, right? When people would give you, or birthdays, right, when people would give you like a present. So the idea of coming into thousands of dollars as an 11-year-old, kind of walk me through the mindset. Was it something where you wanted to go out and spend it and buy different stuff, or was it just all gambling money?
That was all gambling money. I wasn't going to spend that gambling money on anything else. Like, I didn't buy anything else. I would just gamble it. And for me, like, the money would be gone that same day, every single time throughout my entire gambling time. It would be gone that same day. Like, I couldn't fall asleep at night with money in my bank account. Like, I had to lose it all that same day. And sometimes I would on purpose, like, try to lose it all. Like, hey, I'm just going to bet like a huge bet to try to lose it all, just so I could go to bed and eat food. Like, just so I could do basic things, because that I couldn't do anything else when I was gambling, even at that young of an age.
Wow. So this is happening from the time that you're 11 years old up until the time that you're heading off to college, at least. Does anyone around you know that this is happening? Like, do your parents know that you're gambling, or what do they think's going on?
Well, I think I told them I was gambling a few times, but they didn't see it as a problem. They just thought it was a normal thing. Like, hey, he's gambling. That's not a red flag. Like, that's not drugs. That's not alcohol. Like, it's not a big deal. It's just gambling. No one really knew how bad it was. Like, I knew how bad it was. Like, my friends, I was stealing from my friends at the time and taking money from them and gambling with their money. So they kind of knew I was like in a bad spot, but no one knew that it was that bad except for me.
Yeah. I posted an interview recently of a guy named AJ. He's about to turn 21, and he went through a couple years of gambling addiction. And when he said that his mom allowed him to make a FanDuel account, a lot of comments were like coming after his mom. Like, I can't believe she made that mistake. That was such an obvious thing to not know. Like, I don't agree at all. I think that most people have that mindset of like, I'm glad that my son's not doing drugs, or my daughter's not doing drugs. Gambling's not so bad. My parents had the same one. Do you think that parents should be made more aware of the risks of gambling? And if so, like, how to do it?
100%. Like, I think a lot of parents should be aware. And this is something that could be taught in schools. Like, I know my mom, for example, goes to her school and teaches the freshmen at her high school about gambling addiction. Most parents think gambling isn't a problem. They don't even understand how bad it can get and how, like, destructive it can be on your life, and how you can lose your entire life savings in like one night or like a weekend. So like, it can really take you down fast. And just spreading the awareness to parents of the population, and especially in schools, I think it could be taught. I think that would be good.
Yeah. I would imagine as well that, like, because you were doing it, you're facilitating your gambling through a video game, it was probably really easy to say like, oh, it's probably just like video game money rather than the actual gambling, until you kind of come out and say it. So it's really easy to overlook it in that way. But so, all right, you're now heading off to college in your timeline. How's the gambling progressing? What's going on as you get to school?
The gambling got significantly worse when I went to college. I had no friends the entire college. Mm-hmm. I was living in a single dorm by myself, going to bed at 10 a.m. and waking up at 6 p.m. every day, gambling throughout the entire night. And I had a room full of DoorDash. I wasn't paying for this. My parents were paying for my DoorDash at this point, because they didn't know I was gambling. They had no, I was keeping it a secret, right? They just thought I was a college kid, right? So I had DoorDash food up to my knees, a landfill room. Like, I couldn't even step to my computer without stepping in garbage. And there's this one time I got a giant tub. I found this giant tub in the hallway, and I thought, this would be perfect to pee in, so I don't have to leave my seat to gamble, like, or to go to the bathroom. We had community style bathrooms, so you had to like walk down the hall to go to the bathroom and like look people in the eye and like have conversations and use the bathroom down the hall. I couldn't even do that when I was gambling. Like, I was so isolated that I had to just pee in a tub in my room, so I didn't have to get up and use the bathroom. It would take like 3 minutes. I couldn't even leave my seat, because what if the next hand was a 21? What if the next spin was green on roulette? Like, it was all the anticipation, so I couldn't leave.
I've heard stories of, like, physical casinos that'll have a room filled with just, like, extra stools for the slot machines, because people who are sitting on the slots might actually use the bathroom on the slot, not wanting to get up and miss the next spin. But, wow, I hadn't heard of it from the online side, especially because, you know, in most people's cases, in our space, right, like the gambling addiction space, they're gambling on the phone. But you were on the computer, and because of the fact that you had a bathroom that wasn't in your own unit and you had to go out into the hallway, you came to this conclusion that you would rather use the bathroom in a tub than have to go out and miss gambling. That's intense, man. How did you feel about yourself during this time?
Not good. I just wanted friends. I just wanted anything else to do, but I was so addicted I couldn't, and I couldn't even do basic things when I was gambling. Like, I was feeling pretty bad about myself. Like, I wasn't brushing my teeth at all. I wasn't showering at all. I wasn't doing my laundry or cleaning my sheets. And I couldn't even go down to the cafeteria and eat food unless I had action on something. Like, if I had a bet on a sports game, then like, the action that I had would allow me to be hungry. Like, I couldn't even go down and order a burger. Like, I'd be like, hey, one cheeseburger, please. Like, that was crazy for me. Like, I couldn't even talk to people. Like, it was crazy. And I had like the auto spinner slots going, like slots that auto spin. And I couldn't even leave my room to go down to the cafeteria and eat food unless I had the auto spins or a bet on sports or some sort of action. Then it would allow me to be hungry. It's essentially.
And so when the auto spins were going and you would go down to the cafeteria, you weren't watching the spins. You would come back and see the result.
That's right. Because for me, at least, it was all about the anticipation. Like when the ball is spinning around the roulette wheel, or when the turn of a card, like the anticipation of the win loss was the high for me. Like, it wasn't about winning. I didn't like winning felt good and a lot losing felt bad, but it was the anticipation that really got my gears turning. Like you know, before the bet.
I was the same way, not to this exact extent that you're describing, but I remember setting auto spins and like going to the bathroom and then coming back and like seeing the result of it. And it's such a strange thing, right? Because when you're imagining why someone would enjoy a slot machine, it's probably watching it happen, listening to the sounds, watching what's going on the screen, hearing the thing, seeing the results. But now we're taking that out of play completely, and we're just coming back to see a number on the screen. Did it go up or did it go down? That's like bondage. Like, you're like a prisoner to the feeling of having to keep action going constantly. How do you reach that point that it's still enjoyable without seeing it?
Well, yeah, I literally just wanted the number to go up. Like, I couldn't do basic things if I didn't have action. Like, I wasn't hungry. A regular gambler who isn't addicted can you know, enjoy the slot and sit there and play the slot and like leave after a loss or leave after a win. But for me, I had to be at $0 before I would step away. I didn't really care to watch it. I just wanted my number to go up so I could gamble more. Like, all I wanted was to gamble more money and have more gambling money. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, was like, was it at all about the money? But it was really just about keeping the ammunition up.
Yeah, it was the escape for me. Like, I was just escaping my emotions and escaping problems with gambling. And it wasn't about the money. It was purely based on the whatever the 51-49 chance on blackjack, it was my main game. It was purely based on that. It was just to get the dopamine. It was just to get the escape. It wasn't about, I'm going to save a bunch of money and pay rent. I want to save a bunch of money and buy a car. Like, I just wanted my number to go up so I could gamble more. Like, it was all gambling money.
As it's continuing to progress, you know, are there times where you are running out of money? And if so, like, what are you doing to get more money to gamble?
Yeah. So in college, I started stealing from people. I was stealing from my parents and friends throughout high school and middle school. I was taking their debit cards and cash out of their drawer to gamble with. But then in college, I started stealing from strangers. I started taking people's wallets, basically, and grabbing that money and depositing it and then gambling it and losing it and going right back and taking more and gambling. And that was just my entire day. I didn't go to class ever. No friends, no involvement in school, no clubs, nothing. I would just steal money, go gamble, lose it, go back and steal. Do that over and over all throughout the day.
Now, I don't need you to go into details on how you did it, because then that might give someone an idea on how to steal a wallet. But were you ever caught?
I was caught.
You were. What was that like?
Well, I went to jail. That was terrible. And I mean, I had to suffer the consequence of what I did. Yeah, jail was absolutely miserable. It was my rock bottom for sure when I went to prison. And it was the worst experience of my life. And I never want to go back there. But I know if I do go back to gambling, that it picks up right where it leaves off. Like, I won't go back to, like, these $5 spins I was doing in middle school. It'll pick up to, like, right where it left off. It will go right back to stealing. It would go right back to the high roller stuff. Yeah. And then I'll go to jail. And they don't go easy on second-time offenders. Like, they let me off pretty easy this first time. But they don't go easy on second-time offenders. So if I were to go back out there and steal and gamble again, I'll go to jail for a long time. So,
you know what my first thought was when you said that you were in jail? It wasn't like going to the extremes of like the stereotypes of jail. It's like you're now isolated in another place, but now you don't have access to the gambling. Was there like physical withdrawal when you went to the jail?
Yes. Mm. I was only thinking about gambling the entire time I was in jail. I was only thinking about what kind of money do I have to my name when I get out? What kind of action am I going to get into when I get out of jail? I was thinking about it basically the entire time. I was miserable, but kind of what was keeping me together was like, hey, I'm going to gamble when I get out, so I'll be okay. Oh. Like, that's what I was thinking.
How long were you in there?
I was in there for like 3 days. Yeah, not a long time, but it felt like a long time. Like, it felt like weeks, but it was only 3 days.
Was it like a holding cell or like a processing cell?
Yeah, it was like the booking, I guess you could call it. Like, there was like 50 people in a room, and there were like 50 beds, and all of us were in orange jumpsuits, and we had like books and stuff. But yeah, it was like booking, I guess.
What did your family say when I'm imagining they were the first that you called when you got in there?
So I called my lawyer first, and then my family. My lawyer actually told my family, and they knew I was stealing already. At the time I was stealing, I was like, I'm not going to get caught. I'm invincible, because I was under the influence of so much gambling and so much drugs at this point that I felt like I was invincible. I'm like, hey, I'm never going to get caught. This is not even a problem. Like, I didn't even think it was a problem. My family figured out I was in jail, and they were like, well, he stole, so he's in jail. And they weren't really like, they knew it was going to happen, essentially.
If you're gambling starting to feel less like fun and more like stress, trust me, you're not alone. Millions of us know what it's like to say just one more bet or feel that urge that's really difficult to explain to someone else. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about the sponsor of today's video, Evive. Think of it as having a recovery companion right in your pocket. Someone that knows exactly what you're going through. No lectures, no pressure, just genuine support without judgment, right when you need it. If you download Evive right now, you'll get guaranteed free access through 2026. Not a trial or some limited version, but the entire platform. Because Evive believes that anyone that's out there that's struggling should get the support that they need. Download Evive today and take the first step towards redefining your relationship to gambling. Evive is only available in select countries. Check the description of this video to download now.
So you mentioned drugs, so substances. I recently spoke with a man named John Schmidt from the Delaware Council on Gambling Problems, and he told his story of how he robbed, I believe it was six banks, five hotels. Don't quote me on that. It was something to that extent. But he would get very, very drunk before he would go and commit these robberies, and then he would drive off drunk after stealing money from the banks. How did drugs and substances factor into your experience? What was the reason that you were using them?
I was mainly using, escape drugs, like drugs that would take me out and like make me delusional and not make me think at all. I was completely numbed out. The main reason I was using these drugs was to cope with the gambling losses, because I would lose significant amounts of money at this point, and I would be so exhausted and fed up and just done that I needed these like escape drugs to like take me out of that mindset. Because I couldn't live with myself after I lost like a bunch of money. Like I was so miserable that I needed these drugs. And that's, you know, they numbed it out. And I was completely numb. And to your point about that, I would get high on a lot of drugs and go steal. Because then, like, in my mind, I wasn't thinking. And it was like, I justified. I was like, oh, this is okay. It's not that bad. It's only a couple hundred, like whatever. And I would be under the influence of so much stuff when I went to go steal that I wasn't even thinking that it was a bad thing.
You've said so many little tidbits throughout this conversation that kind of point to the fact that this was just a self-perpetuating cycle that was really difficult to get out of. Because you had mentioned that there were times in, like, earlier on in the gambling where you would lose the money just so that you could calm down, just so that you could go to sleep to have a break. Then you would get upset that you lost money in the later years so that you would have to use drugs to feel better. And then the drugs would lead to stealing. The stealing would lead to more gambling and then back around the cycle. You know, for someone that doesn't quite understand a gambling addiction, which is who I really hope to reach with a lot of these podcasts, like, help us reconcile that cycle. How did you finally break it? How did it finally change?
So after I got out of jail, I was still gambling and still doing drugs, but I was calling around to some rehabs at this point because I knew that I needed help. At this point, I was like, yeah, I went to jail. This gambling is getting me nowhere. Like, the gambling is going to lead me personally into institutions, jails, or death. Mm-hmm. And I've been to two of them, but haven't, I guess, death is possible if you start gambling, if I start gambling again.
Yeah.
But, I got admitted to this rehab in Los Angeles called Beit Teshuva. And they have, it's a drug and alcohol rehab, but they have a gambling program where it's like 7 to 10 people in the gambling program. And that's where I was, because gambling was my main addiction. They taught me what sobriety was and how to stay sober from gambling, and basically built the foundation for me to not gamble anymore. So that was where it started.
I want to hear more about the experience as well. Of being in the rehab and, like, the skills that it gave you now in recovery, and then, of course, closing with, you know, how you're doing now. Why couldn't you just stop when you started to experience these negatives? You know, you're starting to feel this dependency on gambling. Even in high school, you're feeling like you have to rush home from school, get on the school bus, and it has to gamble all day long. You're saying you're wanting friends. Why aren't you able at any point to make the change? And I'm asking this knowing the answer, but more for the audience.
Well, even if I wanted to change at this point, I couldn't. I was so addicted to the high. It's like a drug high, for me at least. I was so addicted to that feeling that I just couldn't stop. And for me, gambling took priority over everything. Like, I love my family a lot. And gambling took priority over my family, over all my friends. And gambling was like my best friend. And I didn't want to give that up. That's how I cope with stuff. That's how, like, when I got a bad grade, when a girl rejected me, whatever, like, that's how I coped. I went to go gamble. And that was, like, my escape and my reason, my means of coping. Mm-hmm. So I felt so good. It was so bad for me. It was so destructive. But it felt good. It was, like, temporary relief. But it was long-term destruction.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't leave it. I was so addicted.
So you go off to this rehab and you begin to develop the tools that would help you to kind of turn things around. While you're at the rehab, are you having urges to gamble? What's the access like? Are you cut off from the world? Like, kind of tell us about the practical experience of being there.
Yeah. So I was pretty cut off from the world for the first, like, 90 days, because they didn't let you really leave the house unless you were going to a meeting for the first, like, 60 to 90 days. And I was doing everything. I was doing all the extracurriculars. I was going to a meeting or two meetings a day and just doing everything. I got a sponsor in GA and was essentially just trying my absolute hardest at recovery, because I knew I needed help and I wanted it so bad. Like, I wanted recovery more than I wanted the gambling at this point, because basically I went to jail and I lost a bunch of money. I'm in debt. My family, like, I have a terrible relationship with my family. So I was going to, like, groups and basically was busy all day, every day, and was cut off from the world completely. But I developed these amazing friendships and relationships in rehab that will be, like, lifelong. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so now it's been a year and a half since the last time that you gambled. What was the last time that you gambled, by the way?
The last bet I placed was January 23rd of 2024. It was, like, on a dollar. It was at 11 o'clock at night, the day before I went to rehab, and just couldn't stop. And then they took my phone away at rehab for, like, 30 to 40 days, and that's what kind of kickstarted me to stop.
Yeah, I hear that story all the time, and it's one that I had as well. My original bet date, it's now November the 12th, 22. Originally, it was February 8th, 22. On February 8th, it was like 11:50. I'd just gotten back from a Gamblers Anonymous meeting, and I went on like a 3-hour slot binge because I was like, well, my date can be tomorrow and I'll start tomorrow. And like, I went through the exact same thing, like get one more out. And in drugs and alcohol, I know that leads to like the most overdoses is the night before someone goes to a rehab facility because they're trying to get like one more high. So I very much can relate to that. You know, what's changed in life since you left the rehab and began to rebuild like back in, we'll call it the normal world?
Yeah, my life is beautiful today. Like it's everything I wanted when I was gambling is now possible when I'm not gambling. Like, for example, I just got a car. My first ever car is coming next week. And when I was gambling, I always wanted to like, you know, save money. Maybe I could buy a car, but you know, I wasn't really going to buy a car because that was gambling money. But I was like, hey, I can maybe buy a car with my winnings. But now I'm saving money by working a job. And these things are possible now because I'm not gambling. And I have friends. I have like an unbelievable amount of connections and friends and GA and rehab and school and outside friends and online friends, whatever. And I have so many friends now and so many connections in a very big support system that I can rely on when times are tough. And recovery is not easy. Like times do get tough. It's not this like straight linear trajectory. Like it gets better every day. Like some days are terrible in recovery and some days are great. Like, I mean, I've gone through really bad gambling cravings and terrible days. Like I've had one of my close friends passed away from a heart attack this year in May. And that was really difficult. And just things like that will pop up, but I don't gamble for anything. Like I will not place a bet for anything. I've made that very clear. I don't gamble for anything. So
sorry for your loss, but yeah. I am happy to hear that, you know, you now have what I would presume to be new coping mechanisms and new thoughts about how to go forward. And I mean, dude, you mentioned like going downstairs in college and ordering a burger, like that was hard. And now we've been sitting here for 28 minutes talking to each other and you're locked in. And it's just like, that must be night and day. How do your family and like close friends feel about that? Have they noted like a difference in you?
Oh yeah. A total transformation. Like my mom will say that I'm the son she always knew was in there because I was gambling since age 11 to 21 for 10 years. So, you know, I wasn't really present. I was like gambling all the time and not very nice. She's like, you're now the man that I always knew was in there. And like all my friends really like hanging out with me and they always ask me to do things and they always give me phone calls and I call them. And everyone like enjoys my company now is what I think, at least.
Sure.
So it's everyone, yeah. But it's about giving back too. It's not just about like, hey, I'm doing so great. Everyone give to me. Like I have to like be of service and give back to my community that started me. Like I give back to Beit Teshuva by going to their services and donating sometimes. And I give back to GA because that also saved my life. I donate to GA basically every meeting I go, unless I have no cash on me. And I am of service. I'm like, I'm the secretary. I lead the meeting on Friday nights in LA. And I'm of service that way. So I like to give back to the people who got me to where I am and not just like take from everybody as well.
Yeah, that was a big part of my journey too. It was feeling like you were doing something for someone that wasn't yourself. It's really purposeful and it carries a lot of meaning. And I'm enjoying your company. You said they're enjoying your company. I am, man. So we got that. If you're not going to classes, what was the day in your life like at that point?
It was just pure chaos. Like a day in the life would be wake up, get high on various substances, zone out, and go steal. And this would be like it all, like the entire day. And steal, go deposit the money, go home, do a couple drug deals, go steal again, gamble some more, lose it all. And it was just this vicious cycle of just brutality. It was so painful. And I was so isolated the entire time. Like I had 3 roommates the entire time. I didn't speak a word to any of them, like maybe a few words, but every time I would see them, I would just walk past them. And then one of them actually saw me get arrested. So he knew about it. And then everyone started knowing about it, that I got arrested. So I never talked to any of my roommates. I was just purely isolated doing drug deals and gambling all the time. That's what my day in the life looked like.
Wow. Have you talked to them since, or is just never made the connection again?
No, I haven't talked to them.
Got it. And you mentioned like that you would go and you would steal money, deposit it, and come back. Like, how hungry were you to place a bet? Like, when you would go and steal the money, like, how quick would it be before you started gambling? Were you concerned about covering your tracks, or were you just concerned with getting that money in right away?
The only thing I was concerned about was placing a bet, because that gave me the feeling I was looking for. All I cared about was placing a bet. Like, there were cameras all over the place from when I was stealing, and I didn't care. I didn't care that there were cameras and I was going to get caught. Like, I thought I wasn't going to get caught, and I thought I was invincible, right? But there were cameras everywhere, and I didn't care. Like, all I wanted to do was place that bet. Literally, all I cared about was getting a wager in. Mm-hmm. And a funny story is I was so hungry to place the bet that I would steal money, go deposit it at 7-Eleven or some sort of liquor store, and you know I had to place that bet right away. Like, I couldn't wait to walk back to my apartment to place the bet on my computer. I had to place that bet right away. So I got on my phone the minute the money hit, within seconds the money hit, I was placing a bet. Like, and then I would bet, and oftentimes I would lose all my money before I even got back to my apartment. And I would do a 180, turn around, and go back and steal more money and go deposit more money. Before I couldn't even get back to my apartment, I had to place that bet right away. Like, I was so hungry for that bet.
Wow. And you mentioned that one of your roommates saw you get arrested. Are you able to tell us a little bit about, like, what happened that you got caught and, like, what that experience was like, maybe heading towards prison?
Yeah, so I was scared out of my mind. Like, it was freezing. It was really cold out. And basically, the officer comes to my door. One officer and one detective comes to my door and says, "We're looking for Kurt." My boy comes out and is like, "Hey, Kurt, he's looking for you." And I was like, "Okay." And I come to the door and there's an officer. And they're like, "We're going to arrest you." And they basically arrested me, handcuffed me, and, took me to the station. I called my lawyer and I was like, "I'm arrested." He's like, "Oh, well, yeah, we knew that was going to happen." It was really scary. And then I got booked into the county jail. Wow. Really scary stuff. Pretty traumatic. I mean, I did steal some money, so it was coming for me. Like, that's what's supposed to happen when someone is stealing money, because I don't know what that money was for people. Like, that could have been somebody's rent. That could have been somebody's food money. That could have been somebody's savings. Like, that could have been important money for people that I was just stealing and gambling with. Like, I had no regard for that at all. Yeah. But, like, if I were to do that now, it would be terrible. Like, I know, like, I'm not high on drugs and stuff, so I know that the repercussions, like, I know I'll go to jail, first of all, and I know that, like, that's people's hard-earned money. Like, I have no right touching that stuff, right? So.
True. So I guess, like, they were just responding to reports of stolen money, and then they checked cameras and then ended up seeing everything. Yeah.
That's what happened, pretty much.
I mean, now that you're in recovery, now that you're a year and a half clean, like, what are your hopes going forward? What do you want to accomplish with your time? What do you want to accomplish maybe professionally?
So my goal right now is to finish college, because, you know, I was dropping out of college all the time and not getting good grades, but now I'm getting good grades. I have like a 4.0 in my new college. So
nice.
I'm doing well. My goal is to become a gambling therapist. Like, I had a gambling therapist who was pretty good back in the day, and she helped me. So I want to be a gambling therapist and essentially help other compulsive gamblers stay away from the bet. That is going to be my professional goal. And I feel like I have a unique insight because I'm so young, and I can help other young guys who are doing, you know, the crypto gambling and the same skin gambling and the same online casino type gambling I was doing, sports betting, of course, that I have a unique insight and that I can, like, help those people. And that is my calling. Like, that is what I want to do.
Is there anything that you'd like to leave the audience with? Any kind of message?
Yeah. So gambling destroyed my life single-handedly. It made everything miserable. And I've heard this in the rooms of GA, and GA is a big part of my life now. Like, I go to multiple meetings a week. I've worked the steps. Like, I've done a lot of things in GA, and I call people, and I work the program very, very well. And this is one thing that I heard recently. You could give up everything for this one thing, which is the gambling, or you could give up this one thing and have everything. That's what I did. I gave up this one thing that I was doing, and I have everything now. But you won't have anything if you're gambling. Like, it'll all be destroyed. If you're a compulsive gambler or if you're a gambling addict. So if you're like a regular old gambler, like, it doesn't matter. But
I understand that. Well, Kurt, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. It was an incredibly unique perspective that I'm really happy that we're going to be able to share with the audience. And if you're in the audience and you want to hear another story of someone in recovery from a gambling addiction, check this video out next. Let's keep getting better together, one day at a time.